Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. I feel like it's been a while since I've talked to you guys. I've been spending a lot of time doing interviews, which have been super fun. I have some exciting ones in the pipeline that you guys will get access to, but I feel like I haven't just came on here and jammed with you guys. And so I'm excited to do that today. I think it's so funny. It's like anything, right? Before I launched the podcast, I had convinced myself that it was going to be this really hard thing that was going to take a lot of time and energy, and it was going to be hard. And now I really find myself enjoying it, looking forward to it, always thinking about new ideas that I could bring to you guys. And as always, I'm super appreciative that you guys tune in with me each Tuesday. So today I want to talk a little bit about what I have termed the Wealthy Practitioner Marketing Method. This is the same marketing outline that I use within my offices. For those of you that don't know, between my husband and I, Kyle, we have four offices. He has two offices that are more rehab focused, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage therapy, occupational therapy, more of a multidisciplinary clinic. And I have two clinics that are pediatric prenatal focused. And so we do a little bit different marketing things within our offices, but the foundation, the framework is all the same. I'm going to break that down for you today. So the Wealthy Practitioner Marketing Method encompasses internal marketing as well as external marketing. I want to start with internal marketing. One of the big things that we do within our offices is events, obviously. And so if you follow us on our office page, you'll see that often we're hosting events for our ideal clients in our target market that bring them together, things that they're excited about, and things that could help our community. And some of those things have been about health. Some have been just for fun. And one of the things that we look to do is host a monthly event. So post-COVID, we have been way less consistent about this. Obviously, there's been a lot of transitions with me being out of the clinic. And since my maternity leave, I have not went back full-time into the clinic. So our monthly events aren't happening as frequently. But in the past, we've done things like a play date or a play circle for kids 2 and under. That was a great way to get our ideal clients together. And then I have clients that do everything. So they do book clubs. They'll do like a community and cocktails event, anything to gather your ideal clients together so that they want to hang out, learn more about you, learn more about each other, make new friends, make new relationships. And then I view events through a different lens. I either view them as a patient acquisition event or a patient retention event. And so if I am throwing together an event that is meant to acquire new patients or to get in front of new patients, then it's going to be different than what I'm doing to just take care of the people we already have. And I think a lot of times we get so hyper-focused on getting more new patients that we forget to take care of those people that we actually already have under our care that actually already love us, know us, like us, trust us. We have to spend just as much time and energy catering to those relationships because those are the relationships that are actually going to drive your business forward. Those are the ones that are going to add to your bottom line over time. Those are the ones that are going to have a higher lifetime value as a client. And so we spend just as much, if not more, taking care of those patients. And my mastermind clients know, but there's a great book out there called Never Lose a Customer Again. And we did a training inside of our mastermind about retention. And essentially, it is 6 to 7 times more expensive to acquire a new client than it is to keep one. So when you're looking at marketing through that lens, you're like, oh, wow, if that's the case, I need to do a way better job on the back end and actually retaining that patient than I do on acquiring new patients. Naturally, your practice is going to grow. People are going to tell their friends and family about you. You're going to do some paid advertising. You're going to get the word out there about you. And so naturally, you're always going to have this influx of new patients. And if you don't, then you probably need some help. I know a great business coach that you can reach out to. But naturally, your practice is going to grow. However, you want some of that growth to be from retaining patients that are loyal fans of yours that keep coming back, that value you and view you as a main resource for their family. And when we're putting together a patient acquisition event, that is something that we're doing in the community to get a ton of awareness about who it is we are and what we offer. That is meant for people that aren't our patients to come to start to engage with us. That could be something like a birth summit or a birth event if you cater to the pediatric prenatal population. That could also be something as like a community kids day. If you're doing a retention event, my clients know that I'm big on the retention events. I like to do like a spa day for the women in our practice, or I like to do, we have a VIP Christmas party every year where we invite our patients who have been with us, who love us, to a party where we cater dinner and we have cocktails, and it's a lot of fun. All the doctors, all of my team are there. And that is more of a retention event. Now, if you're listening to this, you're like, but couldn't it be both? Couldn't I be trying to get new patients and also taking care of my current patients? The answer is, of course, yes, sure. But when you're planning these, you want to make sure that you have a good amount of each event baked into your 12-month marketing calendar. Then other things that we do for internal marketing are obviously some patient engagement and office promos. So we're either giving things away, we're doing a social media engagement. In November, we're going to do a gratitude challenge where there is a local nonprofit by us that helps fostering families. And so we're just going to do a simple thing on social media to increase our engagement where it's like, hey, if you tag us and them, tell us three things you're grateful for every person that throws us on their stories, we're going to donate $5 to the local nonprofit. That's kind of killing two birds with one stone. It's like, we're giving back. We feel good about that. But on the other hand, we're also getting a ton of patient engagement online. And as you know, most of our patients come from social media or patient referrals. And so it's like that engagement being first of mind for them is super important. Then we also have our referral partners. So we really work on those collaborations and partnerships within the office. And then, of course, like I mentioned, social media. We make sure that we post on social media 3 to 4 times a week and at least 3 times in the feed. Also, we usually post on stories once a day, but that is a huge thing that we discuss within our office. We'll have certain things that we want to talk about. We will sit down, we'll record several videos that we want to cover, you know, certain topics that our ideal clients are aligning with. And then also we do email marketing. And if there's one thing for certain is that practitioners as a whole do not use email marketing enough. And so I made this reference in my Facebook group a couple months ago, is we were adding a new service and I just shot it out to my email list. And I was like, hey, we have 5 at this discounted price. Let me know if you're interested. Reply back, text us, let us know if you'd like to proceed. We sold out of all 5 within 48 hours, I think. And it's like, that's the power of email marketing. If you can add a service or have a certain event that you want people to come to, if you're not nurturing that email list, they're not going to interact with you. And I don't spam my email list. If you're on my Wealthy Practitioner email list, you know that I'm not sending you emails every day because I'm very busy. So usually if I'm sending one, it's because it's something important that I want you to know about. Same thing with my office email. We're truly only emailing if we have something important to tell you or if there's something new and exciting happening. So because of that, we have a really high open rate. And also, they are more likely to engage with that. If you don't have an email list started yet, I would hardcore encourage you to get that up and going. Some of the really good platforms that a lot of my clients use are MailChimp, Flowdesk, Constant Contact, Active Campaign. MailChimp, I believe, is still one of the only ones that is free while you're building your email list. So if that's important to you, that's worth considering. I personally use MailChimp for the office and Flowdesk for consulting. I love Flowdesk so much more. My emails are pretty. They are easy to put together. It's almost like Canva for email marketing where you can kind of just plug and play things. Super recommend that. And I think that if your emails are easy to create, you're more likely to create them, which is important. I'm all about ease and finding ways to do things within the business that are actually enjoyable. So that's where a lot of our time and attention goes for internal marketing. And so what we do is we'll sit down, usually in November, sometimes December, depending on what the year looks like, and we will plan out the next 12 months of marketing. And so not every little nitty gritty thing, but like a general rule. And this quarter, we're going to do this. And this quarter, we're going to do that. We take the events that have worked really well for us in the past. We're always testing new things too. So that's important to mention. We take what works really well and then we add it to the following 12 months. And then we also look and say, hey, we tried this. We didn't like it. What if we tweaked it and switched it up a bit? Or we just try new things as well. And that's the thing about marketing is like, you have to view it as I'm just trying to see if this works. And I know sometimes we get so scared of rejection. We get so scared of trying something new that we're worried if it doesn't work, oh my gosh, I'm going to look like a fool. It's like, actually, nobody really cares. Just try it. Throw an event. That's like the number one question. Like, I'm planning for this event, but I only have 5 people registered. And what if nobody shows? It's like, well, what if you're getting practice on what it takes to put together an event? Also, if only one person shows, you're going to provide so much value for that person that they're likely going to turn into a raving fan, which also means a very loyal patient. You are going to have an opportunity to nurture the relationship that you have with them. And so if you're feeling any of these things before you get ready to do events, just know you just have to get started. It's kind of like what I said on hiring your first employee. You just have to do it and you learn a ton from that. That was internal marketing. And then in external marketing, we obviously do some networking. And one of the things that I tell my clients is like, you should be meeting with somebody every week that can move your business forward. And if you're a mom and have young children, and maybe you're only part-time in the office, that might sound excessive. And I would agree that it probably is. Shoot for every other week. But even if it has to be during patient hours, when you have childcare, it's like, can you get a 30-minute coffee meet and greet during that? Can you set up a one-to-one with somebody so that you're networking and meeting other people in the community? That's super important in order to drive your business forward. If people don't know who you are, they can't refer to you, right? And the other aspect of that, so I know we talked about relationships a little bit internally, but also externally, I'm always looking for new collaborations or partnerships. If we have a shared mission, which is usually to drive the community forward, make a positive impact, there are new businesses opening up all the time. I want to be there to support them. And I want to look at any opportunities that we have to collaborate together. Then outside of that, we do some paid advertising. So we'll do Google ads, Facebook ads. We haven't really dived into YouTube yet, but that's a huge opportunity. I have people that, you know, have amazing YouTube channels and also local opportunities. So news stations, billboards, your kids' baseball team, anything like that. And the thing you'll notice here is I'm kind of giving you a brief overview is it's not just one thing that's going to drive your business forward. It's the culmination of all of these things working really well together. And that's something that I hear often from doctors just starting out is like, well, what should I do? And it's like, well, you honestly should probably do it all because you're not going to know what's going to work if you don't try it. And it's not really just do everything so that you're busy and you could say you tried. It's like, be strategic about what's actually going to move your business forward. And usually that is making sure that you're showing up online, making sure that you're starting to build an email list. If I have one regret, within marketing, it's that I didn't build my email list soon enough. I really didn't care too much about building my email list the first couple of years. I was like, I'll get their email on my intake and then I'm not going to do anything with it. I'll put it in MailChimp, but I'm never going to send an email. But I've learned so much more as the years have went on and through different coaches I've had. And the more that I learned about marketing, it's like, wow, your email list is gold. And I know for most of us, we're putting all of their information into like an EHR system, but that EHR system is housing that information. But you start to think about like, okay, what if your social media crumbles tomorrow? You know what you're still going to have is your email list. And for our office, a lot of our brand awareness is created through social media. We have really good engagement on there. We also show up consistently, which is a huge thing that you have to do. So often I see doctors posting once and then ghosting. And it's like, well, if you're posting and ghosting, first of all, how are they really getting a feel for who you are and what you stand for? And second of all, you don't have any engagement because you're not engaging. You're not engaging with your prospects. You're not engaging with the people who are already interacting with you. And if there's one thing that you'll see on our social, either my personal, my consulting, our office page, whatever it is, I try to do it across all of them, is I want to be just as engaged with you and what it is you're creating if I expect engagement in return. And it's, so it's kind of that concept of like, you have to give in order to receive. And I think the same thing goes with marketing, building relationships, building referral partners. If you want a referral partner to send you somebody, if you're trying to cultivate a relationship with like a local doula or a local midwife, but you haven't sent them any referrals, how can you expect them to send you some? Right? It's like you have to be in support of what they're doing and what they're creating. You really should believe in their services. I'm not championing for you to just send people across the community if you actually don't know what kind of service they're providing, if you don't know the quality of it. But If you know they're doing really amazing things, you should also be championing for your patients to seek out care or to seek out their services as well. That's going to be the easiest way that you nurture that relationship. Outside of that, I think you should be sending them thank you notes once you meet for a coffee or a one-to-one. Do a follow-up, because that's so uncommon in today's day and age too. It's like, oh, cool, we met once. Hi, I'll follow you on social. That's it. But if you can add that little bit extra and go that extra mile, people are going to remember you. And I don't know about you, but I'm trying to stand out. I'm not trying to fit in with what every other chiropractor is doing. I'm not trying to fit in with what every other coach is doing. You have to view your business as the same way. And, you know, people often are like, okay, well, what should I do for marketing? And it's like, well, what are you already doing? I work with a lot of women that are building practices that have children, and maybe it isn't super reasonable for you to get to that 6 o'clock young professional networking meeting that happens once a month because it's at dinner time and you've already seen patients all day and you need to get home with your family. I understand that. What I would encourage you to do is find something that works for you to time. So say it's like a Saturday morning, you don't have patients, your partner's home to be able to help care for the children. You can go to a bar class, you can go to a Pilates or a spin class every morning at 9 o'clock on a Saturday. You'll start to build that community. You'll start to build that following. People will start to recognize you and know who you are. My friends laugh because when we take the kids out, our town is so cute. It's a little beach town, and every Thursday in the summer, they have live music. The main streets close down, all the restaurants. It's like so fun. There's so many kids. There's face painting. There's like the little animal balloons being made, and it's just such a feel good time. But my friends are like, we never want to go with you because you know everybody. You get stopped and talked to every 5 seconds. There's somebody else that you know. But I actually am really happy because that means I've done a good job of building brand awareness about who I am, right? That should be your goal. How can you step out in your community and everybody's like, oh, there she is. There's Dr. Sarah. There's Dr. Nikki. Like, oh my gosh, she's the one who has that really cool event at her office every week. Like, I want to go to that. There's so much you can be doing that is good for your business and good for your community. And honestly, is going to feel good doing it. That's not a BNI meeting, or that's not, hey, I'm a chiropractor, come in to me. I'm sure most of you that are listening that are chiropractors, you know, when you meet somebody and they ask you what you do, you're like, oh, I'm a chiropractor. They're like, oh, my neck hurts. Can you adjust me? And you just laugh and roll your eyes internally and are like, oh my God, 100th person to ask me this. Well, I like to not even mention chiropractic when I'm out. So yes, obviously I'll say I'm a chiropractor. But when they say something like that to me, I kind of just avoid the topic. And I honestly will be like, what is it that you do? I want to be engaged in what they're doing. Cool. What do you have coming up? Oh, let's follow each other on social. Let's get connected. I would love to support you in anything that you have going on, because I don't want to try and convince them or sell them that I'm the best thing for them the first time that I meet them. I actually want them to come to that conclusion on their own. And so even when it comes to consulting, I have several people that engage with me and send me DMs and reach out. And, you know, it's an amazing thing, but I don't automatically go and be like, hey, I'm a coach, you should hire me, right? A lot of us do that through chiropractic though. They were like, oh, I'm a chiropractor, you should bring your whole family into me. And it's like, but we haven't established any trust with them yet. Why are we going for the sale if we haven't actually gained their trust or gotten to know them yet? And so if there's one thing I can leave you with, guys, it's similar to dating. You're not going to go right to asking for a super intense date when you just met. You might start with coffee. You might start with a movie or a walk in the park, a walk at the beach, something super low key. So just keep in mind, a lot of these relationships that you're developing within your community, not only with prospective patients, but also other collaboration partners within your community, you have to be generous and you have to be open-minded to collaboration. And you also have to be willing to give first and just know that it's a long-term play. All of this work and this effort that you're putting into your business right now, you're not going to see the fruits of that labor tomorrow. It might be 90 days. It might actually even be 2 years. I'm sure all of you listening to this have had a time where you've met somebody in an event 12, 16, 18 months ago, then all of a sudden they call you and you're like, oh my God, I can't even believe they remember me. How can you be rememberable? How can you stick out to them so that when they do need your services, you're the first person they call? That's my goal for you. That's my goal for myself. That's my goal for my team. And I think that if you can start to view marketing through this broad lens and not so narrowed in on only one mechanism or only one method, and start to be like, okay, how can I create this all-encompassing marketing plan? You'll be better off. And the more you plan, the better it'll be. I'm a firm believer in planning ahead. And so start looking at that marketing plan 6 months, 12 months in advance. If you feel like you are struggling with marketing or you feel like you just kind of don't know. You've had a good amount of success in your business, but you're not sure how to take it to the next level. You want to double or triple, shoot me a DM. I have a course that I'm so excited to launch probably at the end of this month. I'm just doing some final touches on it now that we're going to cover everything marketing, everything systems and operations, workflow, financials. How should you be tracking things in your business? Money mindset, personal development. We're covering it all. And so that is the Wealthy Practitioner Accelerator. It's going to be an 8-week course done at your own pace. And since I'm releasing it for the first time, I am going to include 2 weeks of Voxer access through coaching, which is super amazing because typically only my one-to-one clients get access to that. And so if you're like, hey, Steph, I want some more information about this, definitely shoot me a DM on Instagram and I can chat with you about it. See if it's a good fit for you. If not, I would love to hear how you found this episode beneficial. If you're going to incorporate any of the new ways, if you're going to work on creating a custom 12-month marketing plan for your business. All right, guys, I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.